Wow, that intro was so epic. It can only go downhill from here, right? Hi, welcome back to the podcast. I am Brendan Savage, the coach of the Savage Strikers. Hope you've been well. I think after my week in Supercoach, I prefer to be in the Australian cricket team. Yeah, scored 892 as a non-Gareth Widdop owner. It's real sad times. I feel like the top 1% of super coaches would definitely own Gareth Widdop, and for good reason. St. George has started so well, and he's been someone who's benefited from that, and especially with the addition of Ben Hunt. Really good stuff from St. George, and their forward pack has stepped up again this year. Individually, their output has been less, but as a pack, they've worked together really well. And people like Jack DeBell and Paul Vaughan aren't really benefiting Supercoach-wise from that, but I feel like the output is even more even now. And even people like Tarek Sims playing well. Him and Conrad Hurrell, how good was that to watch? It was a good battle. And honestly, it was good to watch Gareth Widdop. Even as a non-owner, it just made me so excited that the record could have been broken. It wasn't after updates, but it was still good to watch, and congrats to the people who started with him, and congrats to the people who captained him. I saw some people in the group captained him, and good captain choice, honestly, against the Titans' weak defense. Titans haven't really leaked that many points this year, but it was always going to happen with their inexperience. I scored 892, if I haven't already mentioned that. Pretty average week. Had Mitchell Moses and Captain Turbo. I'm going to go for the coveted double. And back at Lotto Land this week, Tom Trbojevic, captain. Captain again. He rarely goes two in a row badly. And at Lotto Land, he averages 95. Well, this year, I'm pretty sure. And against the Raiders, he averages 84 odd or something. So that's something to think about captain-wise. My trades for this week are still very undecided so far. I think Moses definitely has to go. 384,000 with a break even of 106. I haven't seen anything to suggest he's going to improve, or Parramatta are going to improve for that sake. He's not getting any kick at goals. He's not getting any attacking stats. I just think he has to go. He was a fail of a player to start the year with. I should have sold him last week, but that wasn't to be. Moses with Cardi up to second row, and this could be a bit controversial, but Pangai out. Now, Pangai is injured for 1 to 2 weeks. Yes, usually you would say it's a hold, but his break even is 20. So really, when he does come back with a score of 50 or 60, he's only going to gain 20 odd K anyway. So I think he's the only player at the moment I could jump to Cameron Murray, and I think Cameron Murray is a much better purchase than Pangai. So I think it's a decent buy at the moment, and I want points now, and with that money ticking over, I'm happy to sell someone like Pangai. And yeah, so Moses and Pangai with Cardi up to the 5-8 role. Jay Arrow and Cameron Murray in. Now, Jay Arrow has really impressed me, especially when he played the Warriors the other week. He played, let me just get it up here. So against the Warriors, he scored 76 in base stats. And his time on ground, 64 minutes. That's just, that was the only time he played more than 52 minutes. Round one, he played 52 with a score of 44. And last week, he scored 38. Now, this could be actually risky. But I think now he's starting at lock. That's his position to lose now. Cardi's lost it. I'm feel like they might play Cardi on an edge now. But Jay Arrow should get 40, you would say 45 plus minutes. Or 50 plus minutes. Yeah, 50 plus minutes, you would hope. And starting at lock, 76 against the Warriors. So hopefully he does get more than 60 minutes. And his output is good enough to, for him to make a good amount of cash. His break even at the moment, minus 7 at 353K. Good base stats. I'm going to take the punt mainly because there's nobody else in that price range that I'm really interested in. I could have gone Jeremy Marshall King and banked 150K, but I'm not too keen on Marshall King. I don't think the Bulldogs have enough attack in them. I think their attack has improved, but it hasn't improved that much. And Moses and Bai seems to be the only one who's improved in that side. And I think Moses and Bai will take the ball playing duties on that side with the sweep play. He won't be the organizer, neither would Jeremy Marshall King. But I feel like Moses and Bai will be heavily invested in that side. So maybe that might mean some try assists for Marshall King to and by, but I just don't see him making that much and being beneficial. Plus, who knows? I feel like they might be looking at signing Aiden Caesar very shortly anyway. That's just speculation, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. I went to school with Marshall King as well. He was never the standout player, but he's worked hard to get where he is. And yeah, I guess the banking the 180K from Moses is very appealing. This podcast isn't going to go too long today. I haven't got Mikey with me. He's bought a new game today, Far Cry or something. And yeah, he's playing that. Good Supercoach ethic, Mikey. To be fair, he's doing better than me at this point of the year. He's very smart, Supercoach-wise, and yeah, let's move on. Vice captain and captain options this week. Now, with my only non-playing reserve being Sione Katoa, I can only VC the games, the Rabbitohs and Bulldogs game, or the Penrith and Cowboys game. I do not have anyone from Penrith and Cowboys, so I'll be VCing Damian Cook this week. I do not have Cameron Smith. So Cook has been a more than competent replacement for him. And when Havili maxes out, I'll be looking at going to Smith. My captain option this week, Tom Trbojevic. I did touch on him earlier. Average of 95 at Lotto Land this year. Only one game, obviously, but he averages good, much better at Lotto Land than he does anywhere else. And his average against the Raiders is 84, would you believe? Now, that's pretty good. Here are some other captain options that you can look into. I've got them here. So, JT at home, his average is 68. And against the Panthers, it's 72. So, there's some pretty good stats there. Teddy's average at home, 66. And average against Warriors is 64. So, pretty good, but not amazing. Turbo, I've already touched on that, 95 and 80 against the Raiders. Jerbo, at home, 115. Oh, well, that's only this year. And against the Raiders, 62. So, out of them so far, I'd be going Turbo. And Milf's average at home is 76, and against the Titans, 78. Widdup, his average at home is 69, and his average against the Knights is 70. So, they're pretty juicy. But, on Widdup, I have some juicy stats here. Thanks to Kyle Burrows. He's a admin of the group. He does these stat write-ups every week, and he puts a lot of work into it. So go have a look at his stuff. It's real good stuff when you look into it, and it helps with your decision-making process throughout the year. And hopefully you can keep it up. Leave him feedback, because this is what really drives him to do it. I know we don't do it for the praise or anything, but when there's good feedback, it makes us want to do it more. So if you're listening to someone's podcast or reading a write-up or something, just leave a nice comment. To be fair, we don't mind the bad comments either, because you're always going to get them. So anyway, the stat on Gareth Widdop here is, over the next three rounds, they're playing at Wynn and Jubilee Oval. So it doesn't even matter who they're playing, because have a look at these stats. In 2017, Widdop had three games at Wynn, round 2, round 7, and round 20, against Eels, Cowboys, and Sea Eagles. 58, 124, and 128. So 2 out of 3, he turned up. 2017, 2018 at Jubilee Oval. Panthers, Warriors, Knights, Titans, Broncos. Scores of 126, 63, 131, 116, 106. So 4 out of 5 of them were tons. Widdop's record at Cogra is even more impressive, and it goes back to 2016. So round 23 against the Sharks. Now, Sharks in 2016 were the premiers that year, so don't forget that. 106 and 57 against the Knights. Yeah, 5 of his last 7 games at Cogra have been hundreds. So I think Widdop over the next 3 rounds, he could be a lock-in captain option. And that's just scary as a non-owner. I did toy with the idea of going Johnson and Moses to Marshall King and Widdop, but that means I would have had to play Marshall King or Lachlan Croker, and I didn't really want to do that. And I feel like you shouldn't be tearing apart your sides to get Gareth Widdop in. He's not going to score 173 every week, but it is scary looking at them stats. And as an owner, I would definitely put the C on him every week. So, yeah. On to the questions I posted in the group. And the poll was a podcast or a video. I've gone the podcast. So it was overwhelmingly the vote anyway. But you get more info out of a podcast anyway. Oscar St. George says, is Christian Crichton a good NRL player? Now, I've talked to Mikey before about Christian Crichton, and he really rates him highly. Josh Mansell type player, busts tackles, looks for work, and scores tries as well. So keep an eye out for him this weekend. And honestly, even if he does score low, I feel like he is a buy, especially if you've got someone like Lomax or Katoa on your side. I think he will be a good buy. I might be going Katoa or Philip Sammy to him, depending on how this weekend works out. Michael Zantoitis, the value in Arrow and Stinson. Now, I've already touched on Arrow, but Stimson, Felice Kifusi is due back next week, so I don't think he is an option. Kyan Smail, do you think JDB will be a keeper this year? If not, who are decent upgrade options? I think JDB will get back if he gets some minutes. So if there's an injury in that pack, he would definitely be someone who benefits from it. I don't think there's an ideal upgrade unless you don't have Gerbo or... honestly, I think the best option is to go down to Cameron Murray. Marshall King averages 50. Zach Maitland averages 55 when he plays 81 game worth a look. Will he continue to play 80? He will continue to play 80. But as I said before, I'm not keen on him at all. Michael Finch with a Parramatta logo as his display photo. So obviously he's not good at Supercoach. Oh, sorry lads, Para. Unlucky, they need some forwards. Cohen Hess worth buying at over 500k. Now, I'm not keen on Cohen Hess at all. 560k, I feel like Cameron Murray's a much better option as a downgrade. And at 560k, you can get Fifita or Tapau. Or in the second row, you can nearly get Gallen now. Or even... I just don't think Cohen Hess has the great base stats like all these top tier second rowers and front rowers. But he does have the attacking stats, and Gavin Cooper did benefit from that, from JT going to him so often and so many attacking stats. But after that dried up a bit, he was a very average player. I don't think Cohen Hess will get attacking stats every week, but he will get them once in a while. So he's a decent pod, but I don't think I'd be going near him. Zach Maitland, some really high-ceiling players playing bad defensive teams this week. Teddy versus Warriors, Turbo Jobo versus Raiders, Widdit versus Knights, Mill versus Titans. Who are you going to VCC? I've already gone through that, and there's a lot of... I've already gone through all the captain options and their averages and stuff, but personally, Turbo against the Raiders is my pick of the week. Turbo to ton up. Sasha Greening, add Tyrone to the podcast, mate. The specialist in sideways trade. Now, Tyrone Fisher, he has tried to convince everyone in the Fanatics inbox that trading Johnson out, I'm not sure who's traded it to, but trading out Johnson is a good idea because of their tough draw coming up. Now, my argument to this is, yes, the Warriors do have a tough draw, but there are some home games coming up as well, and effectively, any home game against any opposition makes... Effectively, at their home ground, any opposition is a weak opposition to the Warriors. The Warriors just kill it at Mount Smart Stadium, and I don't think you can sell Johnson because he's got such a big ceiling, and in the last 2 years, he has turned up against Melbourne. He has turned up against the Broncos at home, so I don't think he's a sell. And he's always a captain option in Mount Smart, no matter who he's versing. But they are playing the Roosters this week, so unfortunately, I don't think he's a captain option. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. And Tyrone Fisher could be onto something. He did rank 9th last year. Me and him were neck and neck. I'd be at 20th, he'd be at 30th. The next week, he'd be at 20th and I'd be at 30th. And we just kept doing that for most of the season. At the end of the year, he ended up 9th. I ended up 150th. Captain Michael Morgan on a really bad week. And yeah, congrats Tyrone for that nice cash prize in the end. And in the last round, you got the number one prize for weekly score. Good pot of Will Hopewadi. Obviously not relevant this year at the centers though. Is keeping Munster worth a 50k loss or jump to and buy that are going up? Tony Young. Munster is obviously not as good at 5'8 as he is at fullback. But in saying that, I wouldn't go to him by because he's not proven yet. I think you got to see a bit more of him. I know Munster is on the way down, but you'd prefer to go to someone like Johnson or Widdop or Milford if you're going to go to someone like... if you're going to trade Munster out. Hopefully, this is what I'm thinking. With Tohu Harris out of the side and Cooper Cronk, Munster's going to have a lean year this year. So I don't think I will be looking at getting him in until he does prove something. But hopefully he does have a lean year, and when Slater retires next year, if that's the case, he'll be juicy price at 5'8". So let's look at next year towards Munster, and then yeah, but we can evaluate this year. I think he is a sell, but I wouldn't be going to him buy because he's at that price, you can get much better players, especially Milford against the Titans this week. He's juicy. But Tom Sanks is talking Milford up so much, so he's going to flop, isn't he? Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast, guys. I know it was very lean this week, but Mikey wasn't with us this week, so usually we go into a bit more depth and cover a few more topics, but really, it's just tough with one person. I could go for longer, I suppose, but it would be rambling. I feel like two people, it just bounces off well, and one person. Just cover the main topics, and yeah, it's real good that way. Thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. Cheers, lads.